You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to assure us that we are called beloved by Him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's an awkward reading. It's, in fact, one of the more awkward readings in Scripture. When you get this moment that Jesus talks to this Canaanite woman in a way that we go, Jesus, what are you doing? Because Jesus... Well, he calls this woman, this mother who is very concerned about her daughter, calls this woman a dog. And if you know anything about kind of the culture in the Middle East at this time, nobody really liked dogs. There wasn't a sense where, oh, this dog is a cute little puppy. How much is that doggy in the window? None of that. They looked at dogs kind of like you would look at a rat. They looked at dogs in the same way that people mostly look at snakes. And if you have one of those friends who has like a pet tarantula, they looked at the people that loved dogs kind of in that way, like you're a little weird. And so Jesus here is saying something that, well, it just doesn't seem very Jesus-like. And if you start to look into the scholarship around this passage, you get all sorts of people postulating all sorts of things about maybe what Jesus is trying to do or maybe what's happening here. Yeah, so some people say that, well, Jesus is actually being bested in an argument, that Jesus started off wrong, but this lady, this Canaanite woman, corrects him, and he kind of shifts. And so there's some people that say that. There's some people that say, oh, well, Jesus was just doing this to, you know, kind of make a point about racism. And certainly a fair point that we should not judge people on the basis of their skin color or their ethnicity, and he's trying to make that point to his disciples, who are kind of racist at this point, and probably not really liking this woman because of where they are. You know, there's two records of this story, and the record from Mark does this interesting thing where Mark gets very specific about where this woman is from. Mark says that she's a Syrophoenician woman, and that she's from the region of Tyre. And so everything is very precise. Everything is very direct. What Matthew does here is he expands things out, and he expands things out that seem to connect up with, well, some of the way that we talk when we reveal our prejudices. And so what Matthew does here is he says that this woman, instead of being a Syrophoenician woman, very exact, is he calls her a Canaanite woman. Now, you have no idea what the difference is there. But the difference is sort of like if I were to say, well, that person is from Syria, very specific, this is the country that they're from, or that person is an Arab, much bigger and much more likely to kind of move into that area of, ooh, there's maybe some prejudicial language that's coming up here. You have those kind of tensions that are baked into this. And then on top of that, you have the tension of even Jesus being quiet while this woman is chasing after him. The disciples are even like, could you please get her to shut up? And then Jesus calls her a name. He says it's not right to throw the food of the children to the dogs. Now, what Jesus is doing there, in some ways, is actually sort of precise. What Jesus is doing there is he's acknowledging the relationship that is presently there between this woman and the covenant that God has given his people Israel. He's saying, you're not a part of this. This woman is a Syrophoenician woman. She's a Canaanite woman. It's likely that she doesn't only worship this God named Yahweh. She's possibly somebody who worships an idol in her home. She's possibly somebody who is outside of the faith in some way. And yet she knows that there's something that is trustworthy about Jesus. She knows that there is a reason that she's going to him. And there's that tension that builds. That tension that builds because, well, we know what names can do. We know how they can put people on the outside. We know how we start to call people names right before we start to fight with them. I don't know how many of you are into House of the Dragon right now, but just recently there was a big fight between this guy named Daemon Targaryen, who's, you know, sort of a good guy but a bad guy, and then this guy named Jon Roxton, who you don't see much, but he ends up kind of looking like a righteous guy. And they get into a fight, and Jon Roxton does this thing right as they're getting into the fight. He starts calling Daemon names. He starts calling him names like Kinslayer, like Baby Killer. And then right as they're getting into the point where their swords are going to clash, he says, Heathen! And you can see what those words do. We can see what those words do. They separate. They call people out. And so what could Jesus call this lady, this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman? Well, he could probably call her an idol worshiper. He could probably call her somebody who is outside of the covenant. He could probably call her a sinner. Oh, yeah, sinner. That's a word, isn't it? That's a word that we could all own. And so as we're reading the story, there's a level to which we can begin to feel sort of, well, righteous. We can look at how Jesus is responding to this woman, and we can go, Jesus, you shouldn't do that. But there's also a level to which we can look at this reading and we can begin to apply some things to ourselves. I mean, all of us just admitted this, right? Just moments ago, we just said we're sinners. I don't know if you caught that, but you all just owned up to it. So there's nobody in this room who gets to say, I'm not, unless you like during that part you were like, You sit in the same spot as that Canaanite woman. You sit in that spot where you have to recognize that there is something that Jesus could call you. Just start going through the Ten Commandments. Jesus could call you a idolater. Jesus could call you a blasphemer. Jesus could call you a Sabbath breaker. Jesus could call you a murderer. Jesus could call you an adulterer. We all acknowledge those things, but sometimes we acknowledge them in a way that's sort of theoretical and out there, where we go, oh yeah, that's me, but not really. But today that lands. There's a word that's in your head right now, if you think about it. A word that Jesus would be totally righteous calling you. A word that would mean that you're not supposed to be in his kingdom. A word that would mean that you are not supposed to go to heaven. A word that would mean that you are a sinner. I've mentioned it before, but this whole sermon series, we're talking about who Jesus is, and in the midst of talking about who Jesus is, we just can't get out of the question, well, who am I? Who are we? And it's obvious this week, as we look at this gospel reading, who am I? Who are we? Well, we're sinners. We're outcasts. We're people that don't deserve a spot. But who is he? Who is Jesus? Jesus is God come into human form to reveal who God is. God come in human form to reveal what is being talked about in that Isaiah reading, as they're celebrating the fact that all of the nations, all of the ethnicities, all of the people are meant to be included into God's saving work. What's being talked about in that psalm reading, that we celebrate the fact that all of the nations are coming to Christ. All of the nations are coming to God. That's who Jesus is. He's the God who has come to reveal that salvation is not just for one ethnicity, that salvation is not just for one group of people, that salvation, thank goodness, is not just for the holy folks, but it's for us. Whatever name we call ourselves, when we're being honest, whatever name we bring to God in confession and absolution, whatever name we use to say, I'm sorry for this, and I don't want to be this anymore, that Jesus has come to be the God who brings us mercy. Jesus has come to be the God in whom we can have faith. Because, after all, that's what this woman is doing. She's not coming to Jesus saying, I've got a great track record. She's not coming to say, my transcript is beautiful. She's not coming to say that I have all of the right credentials. She's not coming to say any of that. She's coming to Jesus to say, but I can trust you because I know that you have grace to give out. And I have faith in that. And that's who we can be. That we can come to a holy God and say, I know that you have stuff for me. I know that I don't deserve it, but I know that your good stuff is for me. Your baptism is for me. Your body and blood is for me. Your forgiveness is for me. Your Holy Spirit is for me. Your everything is for me. Your heaven is for me. Your resurrection is for me because of who you are. Because of what I call you. Because I call you Savior. Because I call you my God. Not because I'm good, but because you are. And that leads us to walk out into this world and to treat people with the grace that we have received, knowing that we're not going out there as people that are better than anybody else, but rather people that have received a message of grace that has assured us that we are taken care of by a God who comes and shows mercies to outsiders like us. And so as you go out into this world, you can remember that name. But don't forget to remember the name that you're called in your baptism. That you are called beloved. That you are called son. That you are called daughter. That you are called forgiven. Go out into this world with that good news. Amen. Please rise as we continue with the hymn of the day.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.